What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have, he calls himself an aficionado.
Aficionado.
Hey, that's what it is.
Aficionado.
I call him a professor of basketball. I've seen this man, probably I met him when he had his high school degree in basketball. Yeah. Now he has his bachelor's, his master's. He's a doctor now. Mr. Dash Lavelle, man.
What's up, Todd?
Long time coming,
I know. We
here. Excited to have you here, man.
Man, I'm great blessed to be here, man. And I mean, I appreciate everything, you know, letting me come in and just chop it up with you, man. And check out the space. I like what I'm seeing around here, all the basketball.
Thank you, man.
And I mean, basketball is a thing I love, and just being around it means everything to me.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So, your favorite hoop movie of all time and why?
I think my favorite hoop movie, we got a lot of movies around us right now, so I'm looking around, but definitely Above the Rim. There's so many, but Above the Rim to me, I think at a time in my life, I think I have a different movie for a different time,
right?
So I think at the time when I felt like Above the Rim was the movie I wanted to see, and the movie that was my favorite is because I grew up in like that inner city, like Harlem, Brooklyn parks, and I was able to relate to like the gate fence around the park.
Yeah.
And like, you know, as a young kid, you carrying your basketball, walking in the street with it, you working on your handle, walking around the city, you go and meet your friends to work out. And I think just the park that they shot the movie in, it was legendary, because like I went to Grady High School. They use Abraham Lincoln for some of the games, so like I was so familiar with like the whole setup of it.
Yeah.
And shout out to Pee Wee Kirkland, like he was like a scout in the movie, yeah. And that was one of my mentors growing up.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So like Pee Wee did a lot for me growing up, like when I first started with this whole basketball thing. So like even seeing familiar faces in the movie. And then like the whole like going to the park with your friend and like he ain't that good but you might be better.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it had just so many like things to connect to.
Yep.
So like I was just like it was relatable at that moment. So definitely Above the Rim.
Yeah, no, yeah. It made me look at basketball because out here on the West Coast it's different. We don't have, you know, our parks are open and all that. I'm like, dang, like It's a little tougher over there, like
it's like West Fourth, right? You're like fenced up.
I didn't have to deal with, you know, the Flip Johnson, the homeless man at the park, who he could hoop too apparently,
exactly.
But
yeah,
like
right?
Just that whole environment and the intensity of the environment was like, oh man, I might have to step it up a little bit.
No, for sure. It definitely makes you get that vibe like. It's kind of greedy in a sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like sometimes like you see dudes wearing all the clothes, you look like, damn, you're out there in the winter. Like you're outside really in the park in the wintertime, you know what I mean? Kind of build a different toughness. Like when you gotta play outside and move some snow and it's like tough to get in gyms, but you gotta keep working. So you know what I mean, it definitely build another side to you for sure.
Dope.
You know what I mean?
Yep, dope. So when did you fall in love with basketball?
I feel like that happened because I'm from Trinidad.
Okay.
I mean, so a lot of people don't know that, but I feel like when I was younger, I wasn't sure if it was love, but like I knew when everybody wanted to watch football, we call it football in Trinidad, you know, in America they call it soccer, but like when everybody wanted to watch football, I wanted to watch Mike play, because at that time, like he was still playing, I think he was like that last 2 years of like them getting them rings in Chicago. So like playoff games, I mean, I ain't know nothing about it, but I just knew like I wanted to watch that instead of that. And it wasn't, I don't think it was even a thing about like someone introduced it to me. I just saw it. And I think the reason why I was able to relate to it because they were always storytelling basketball, right? Like whereas soccer is kind of like, I never really seen like the story build up to it. I always saw the game happening. And I felt like the times I saw the commercials of like the game, it was like always like this story build up and like this like battle they had to go through to get to this moment. They always build it up so well. And I think, like, rest in peace to my grandmother, like, she was always one of those people that gave me that same feeling. Like, this buildup of, like, her life, and I saw, like, how hard she worked and the grit and the grind. And I think they showed you that in the buildup of those playoff games. And I was able to relate, like, from seeing that from my grandmother to seeing that in the Bulls and Mike and them. And I was just like, it just connected easier.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, from there, I just
picked up the ball.
Yeah, I like that.
When did you move to New York?
I think I moved to New York when I was like probably 13 or 14.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was older.
Oh, so you like grew up in Trinidad?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I did not know that.
I know. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's just like, even when I came here, like, I was running track first, so that's where the name Dash really came about. You know what I mean? Like, I was fast. Everybody, I run 100 meter dash. Like, I was quick. Like, you know, then, like, I mean, when I first went to high school, dude was like, you should play basketball, man. You fast, quick. I ain't know how to hoop. I ain't know how to do nothing. Like, so I felt like I was kind of like, because my only first sighting of the game, like I told you, when I was in Trinidad, like, so, like, when they tried to introduce it to me, I was like, I can't really do this, but it's so funny. The dude was like, the girls like the guys that hoop, right? Mm. So, it first started like, yo, okay, shit, give me some shorties.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a hoop. But then, like, it became bigger. It became, like, a place to free myself and not think about a lot of the things that's going on around me. Mm-hmm. From poverty to not having certain things and not being able to have access to certain situations to you know, coming from, my country is a third world country, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Coming from that and not being able to have certain things, it kind of gave me, like a sense of brotherhood with people in the park, you know what I mean? Like, even though it was tough and dudes talking trash to each other, but it was a sense of, like, here you mean something to the world. And I think that's when it meant more than just girls. It was like you mean something to a bigger, or not bigger, but bigger but smaller community, in a sense, you know. So, like, I felt the love. I felt like you didn't get judged here. Like, you get judged for just, like, not playing hard if you didn't play hard or not competing. And, like, for me, I was like, I could do that. You know, so I could, I'll compete. You know what I mean? Being not good or good, I could compete. Like, you know, I think I've always been competitive. I always like working hard. And I think, you know, sometimes I get a little misunderstood. But, like at least there I felt safe. But that's where it comes from.
It's important to understand where that comes from. If you don't know you and you walk into the gym and see your focus and intensity, to the average eye, right? To hoop people, we get it. Yeah. We watch it. We see you.
Yeah.
But somebody else coming in and seeing that it is misunderstood.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, yo, why is he so intense and passionate? Yeah. Yeah. And then there you go, man. This is for you. It was a what is it? It gave you a foundation and an identity.
Yeah, for sure.
You were putting a name to what you were feeling, and you were able to explore that with this round ball.
No, and for sure.
I think that's the gift that it gives all of us, right?
Yeah.
Is that I felt the same way, even though I didn't grow up like you.
Yeah.
In a situation like you did, this gave me an identity. Yeah. It gave me a place to, for me, it was my mom had a bunch of people in the house all the time.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get away from them. Nobody else played basketball. So no, I just went to go hoop. And luckily I had somebody to show me how.
Yeah.
I called my cousin, but, you know, he lived across the street. He showed me how.
Mm-hmm.
And so where was your first opportunity when somebody showed you what to do with this? Or were you just imagining and doing your thing? And, you know, how did that development of the game happen?
It's funny that you said that, man. And because, like, my cousin, he did the same for me. He wasn't, like, my cousin, but I called him my cousin because, like, when I first came out here, I remember I had went to this YMCA. I don't know how I end up there. But, like, I remember us, because, you know, in New York, you're always trying to find different places to play. And I don't know if it was a YMCA or a Battery Park in New York. And we was outside. And it was a dude named Raj. Man, so crazy, man. Rest in peace to him too, man. And it's crazy because, like, he was the first dude that just kind of really, like, him and Pee Wee Kirkland and them, like, they was the first set of dudes that really, like, kind of took me and just was like, you know what? Like, you competitive. Like, you play hard. Like, I could play with you. Let me show you how to hoop a little bit. And that he used to, like, always take me to the park. He used to always tell me, work on your pull-up jumper. And, like, it was so funny. He was the first person that showed me that, because he was, like, 5'9", right? Mm-hmm. That, like, I used to watch him post up dudes that were 6'5", and all. Like, I was like, how does he do that? And I remember I used to always say, like, you know how I used to always laugh? I used to be like, you know how Iverson would curl somebody? Like, and they go flying one way. Like, he would do that with his back turned, because he had the little his fake arm. And dudes be going, like, flying, like it was a crossover. Mm. And, like, then one day I was asking him, I was watching his footwork, his base, and I was like, bro, I didn't even understand what footwork and base was at that point, right? So I'm like, but he's talking to me. And I think as I kept watching him, I think he was the perfect person for me to watch, because his game was what basketball foundation should look like for any player, like big, small, no matter what. He was the first person that showed me basketball wasn't about really a position. It really was about having the proper movement and footwork. Because you can do a lot of the same things everywhere on the floor. Okay. Like a lot of the same footwork you're using in pick and roll, you can use it in the post. Like, people don't realize that, but it's just about having footwork, right? So he was the first person that introduced me to seeing that. And I didn't really realize it until years later, but I was introduced to seeing it from him. And like, he would always like take me to like, you know, he had the VHS tapes, you know, pull up, man. And he would have like boxes of tapes, like
the better basketball joints.
Nah, or? Just Mike, like all the games on VHS. He probably still got them somewhere, right? I know he gave me a bunch of them. We used to just type it in the VHS, and we would watch old Mike games, bro. And I think like you know, I believe life is a copy and paste life in a sense. Like, you know, Kobe copy paste Mike. You see what that looked like for you, right? And I think like you look at Kyrie copy paste Kobe a little bit. Like, you see what that looked like. And like, for me, like, I understand now why his footwork was so good, even though he probably didn't have everything Mike had, but he watched Mike.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't, like, for me at least, you couldn't tell. I was like, you're Mike, just shorter, right? Like, and he would just always have these tapes and be like, yeah, Mike is one of the best defenders, but you gotta see the dude Scotty, watch Scotty. Like, and like, you know what I mean? But like, he just talked about how they complimented each other so well, and like, it was so funny, man. And like, and he used to always say 9-6 and forever. Like, he used to always say that from the little rap song with Jay-Z and them and that era of Mike. And like, it was crazy, man, like how much VHS tapes he used to have, and he would just take me to watch him and watch him and watch him. So he was the first person that really introduced me to like
the game. The game.
No, you, facts. You and I didn't even realize I was getting that.
Like, you were getting an education on basketball.
Basketball, because like he ain't never really like was a dude that was, you know, like I always tell guys when I work with guys, I'd be like, I don't really look for too much information from other trainers. I always got it from players, because they the ones that play the game. And the game won't lie to you. Like, film don't lie. Just like they say, numbers don't lie. Like, you'll see it. Like, just look at the film, look at the numbers, look at the game, and look at the best guys that do things the best way in certain situations. And it'll show you. But I think what happens is sometimes, like, what I've learned over the years is, like, guys, why they can't catch on is because they don't have a good eye for things, right? And that's a skill, like being able to have a good eye for what you're seeing. And I think me growing up, being in like third world country and being in New York, like in certain neighborhoods, I've always had to be on alert. I've always had to be high awareness.
So, why?
It's dangerous.
Like, no, talk you know about it. You know, I didn't have that experience.
Yeah,
so
like it was dangerous. Like, you know, yeah. Like I watch like like family members and people, shootouts and people passing, like things I shouldn't see as a kid.
Yeah.
And I think like always like I seen in Trinidad like dudes like flip the cop trucks over. Like you come up in the neighborhood, like cops was afraid to come into our neighborhood. Like that's how weird it was. Like where like they would come in, but when they come in, they had the cops and then they had these other dudes they would send to like reinforce, like, y'all wanna act up, we gonna come show y'all what's up.
Dang.
So like you seeing stuff like that from people, you just like, you always like on high alert of like what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. So like a lot of my awareness, it didn't just come from like basketball. It came from like something else.
From life.
Life. Yeah. And you know they say the way you do one thing, you do everything. So my awareness just carried over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But like it was just always like I watch people not even know what's like around them and just walk through life like it's normal. Like I'm always on high alert. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you know, that's just how I've always lived. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that's why people are like, relax, you just chill. Da, da, da. I was like, I'm chilling. I think at this point I'm able to balance it a little different now. I'm more like, I can relax and not be too like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's kept me safe. Yeah. And like, you know, in those type of situations. And, you know, it allowed me to be patient too. It taught me like, okay, just, I don't got to move into whatever that looked like. I don't know what it is. I'm kind of iffy about it.
Right.
And it allowed me to move slower. And like I said, like, that's how I see the game of basketball too. Like, you know what I mean? So people be trying to work on pace. Like my pace came from like my living of things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, it was just like, let me not rush into that. Like, no. So I've always had like this eye for when and see what's around me, and I think it just carried over in the hooping.
That's dope. That's dope, man. No, it's crazy. It's crazy how it just all connects. When so you're getting this basketball education, and you're 14. You're going into high school. Like most people start way younger than that.
Yeah.
When did you see your game get to the next level? Like when was that big jump where it's like, all right, I could actually maybe go to college for this, or you know, get to the next level.
Man, like honestly. Like, I struggled all through, because, like, for me, I've always watched the skill part, right? And, like, I didn't get better till, like, I got older. Like, till I was going to a JUCO. And even at the JUCO, like, I still didn't play much. And then when I left, like, I remember going to runs up at CN Hall and different gyms in Jersey and competing, and I was just like, started realizing like the game started slowing down a little bit for me, but still it was just like I was doing skill work a lot, right? Like I've always felt like skill wise, like my movement, dribbling and all that was there, but like I never felt like I understood like the game, you know what I mean? And then I had one guy named Cleve. He used to live out in New Jersey, and he was the first one that started teaching me like the ins and out of like X's and O's and understanding the refs and knowing what they would call, what they won't call, like understanding like certain things, you know?
So was he like your trainer?
He was just more of like a coach, mentor kind of thing, you know what I mean? And like he, you know, my man Raj, he showed me a lot about like different footwork and different things like Mike would do, but like I just, it's a game within a game. Like I just never got to understand. I never got to understand like, yo, I'm gonna come down and swing it three times just to get him out the nail.
Yeah.
Like, you get what I'm saying? Just to make him move over a little bit more. And then the next time I get it, he gonna think I'm gonna pass. Now I'm gonna drive. Or like, you get what I'm saying? Like manipulating the game.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Man, I was 23 when I figured it out.
Yeah.
Like it was, I did the same thing, all this work, I was a hard worker. And so, man, that similar story. I went to JUCO, didn't play much, left JUCO, and then started working with, you know what did it? It was Joe Abunasar when I was working with Impact in the gym, just watching them train, and started to click a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's spots on the floor. And yeah, just like you said, odor just all clicked.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And it's crazy because like even through that process, like if me being me right now and thinking about those things, like I still didn't even really fully get it then either. Cause then like I met Samaki Walker, right? And then one day I was like, I wonder if, this is when I really started using my eyes. I started really watching a lot of Chris Paul and Rondo. And I was just like, bro, everything I do, I had this concept and I've been teaching it to guys over the last 2-3 years. Feel minds, see theirs. So I started that like when I started working out with Samaki, right? I was like, every drill he does, I'm gonna act like I'm seeing everywhere else on the floor. And whatever is in front of me, I'm just gonna play off feel. Hmm. So I would always say to myself, all right, don't worry about this person in front of me, just feel, right? And everything else, look. Hmm. I think once I started doing that, it was insane, because now I had to get away from the work I've done skill-wise. I had to get away from worrying about it. I look at skill work now as just the ability to move a certain way, right? So like when I put on clothes, I'm not worried about what I'm wearing. I already know it's fire, right? It's yeah. been bought. Like I liked it, I bought it, it's on me. So when I walk and I go wherever I go, I'm not worrying about my clothes no more. Right. I'm just focusing on where I'm going now. It's already here.
Yeah.
That's how I look at skill. Like you work on it to just forget it, right? You just get the skill, you forget it, because it's just, it's on you now.
It's become nature.
You. Yeah, yeah, it's on you. Like, so you don't really gotta like sit back and like, that's why when I see parents tell kids, do the stuff you work, you can't. Because it's not a thing you go out and try to process in your head. You just let it happen. And I think you just want to have it ingrained in you and just be able to use your eyes to see what else is available.
I have to ask, when does that balance come in, right? So you want to have a kid master the skills, right? Or get to a point where it is second nature. Mm-hmm. When is that balance of, okay, hey, we're going to start shifting this skill work to be what how you teach now, the feel and see. Concept. When does that transition happen?
I think it's just transition. Everybody's transition at a different time, but I think the conversation is definitely always need to have, right? You always need to have that conversation with them because they need to understand that you got to get to the point where you know what you're doing. Like, I know what I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And like having the skill and being able to just ingrain it in you, like some people might have certain things not down pack as fast as others. So where like you can kind of move him on a little earlier, or like, okay, he might like have better feel, but not better skill. So everybody is kind of all over. Cause if you look at a guy like Rajon Rondo, when I first watched him on the Celtics, I used to be like, okay, like super highly IQ'd, but like he don't handle it and move like Kyrie do,
right?
So like sometimes it's almost like you don't really need that much skill, but then at the same time, having that much skill allows you to get in and out of more tougher situations.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, but then being able to see the game at a high level also helps get you out of tougher situations.
Yeah, you won't even go
into that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, that's why I never like choose one over the other. Like, it's almost kind of like, but like, they're all needed. You get what I'm saying? So like, I always see guys like who just are skill guys or guys who are just IQ guys. And I just feel like, you know, the best guys can put them all together.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But then you got some guys that feel like, well, I don't need that much. And I think that happens because there's not enough explanation. And that's why I said I'm not a trainer, I'm a teacher. Because if you could teach guys like, hey, listen, I know you don't feel like you need that much, but let me tell you why we're doing this so you could understand. Because guys that are highly IQ'd, they're always gonna try to find the easiest way to get it done. They're never gonna try to do the most. They're gonna be like, I don't need to do all that. Why would I do this dribble and drill or that, this? Like, but if you explain to them, hey, this is not for that. This is for you being able to use your eyes more. This is what yes. Now it's like, oh, okay, I'll do that because I do want to start spending more time figuring out how to look right, left, back, behind me, forward, right? So it's just like they're both needed, man. And like it's really kind of tough to say when you should transition one into the other. I think it should be a constant conversation of like skill and understanding happening always at all times. So like you know how to kind of transfer it when you need to.
I like it. Two questions going back to New York Times, right? So when did you become a ball handling expert, like with what you do? And what got you to California? You already know it. I'm gonna rewind. I'll save that California question. When did you become a trainer?
I think I became a trainer when I was like 21, 22. And, you know, I was just looking at my younger brothers. They were good. My cousins, they were good. I always felt like in order for me or us to do anything with basketball, somebody had to give up like their journey, right? Like, and I felt like I was the older one. I felt like basketball is such a time thing, right? So like, I feel like I wasn't in the right time. Like, I started late, so I was just like, man, that was depressing for me. So I was one of my younger brothers was like, just cause you don't play, or like, just cause you don't play in the NBA or play a certain level, that don't mean you ain't gonna be there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it started making sense to me that like, okay, I can still have an impact, but just in a different way and still be around the game. And
people. When did you decide that part? Like that like when you first stop hooping, everybody gets a little bit depressed.
Yeah,
we all do, facts, right? It's like, facts. Yo, it's a wrap. And did you finish? So you, after junior college, did you end up going to play after that?
Nah, like I just stopped because it was just like I played in like little, like, you know, they used to have them semi-pro leagues and stuff. I did all that little stuff, you know what I mean? And like, I could have probably pursued it and try to keep going and fight to get something overseas eventually or whatever, but I ain't know nobody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, like information.
People always think that's so easy to just go here and go there, like, but not knowing people starting late playing basketball, I didn't have any access to anything. So for me, like, it was fighting against something that was never probably gonna happen, right? Yeah. At that moment, at least, you know? And you know, time goes on. So it's just like, what do you wanna do? Do you wanna figure out how to go find those resources and give it to people so they don't ever have to go through that? Or you could just keep fighting this for you only. And like, I decided to just like focus on my brother and my cousins and them. And then like, they all played D1. So like, you know what I mean? So I didn't get to have that experience, but I made sure that they never experienced what I did or what I felt. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so like, you know what I mean? So, you know, I look at guys all the time, like they always feel like, you know, like the game is the game, bro. Like you see dudes like people always be like, oh, you didn't play here. Like, it don't matter. Like if you go looking for the information, a lot of coaches who coach these dudes ain't play certain places either.
Right.
Right? But to the end of the day, if you're willing to be a student and you're willing to kind of like get out there with guys and bump and talk and sweat and understand what they're feeling and trying to find the best information. I just tore my patella tendon, right? Like 4 months ago when I was in Boston. Mm-hmm. And even this injury for me, like I actually had a moment where I was down, but then I was like, damn, this is what these guys feel.
Right, and their money is right.
And this is when their money. So like, it just, like all of these things are happening to teach me things. Like, you know what I mean? Because at first I was like, man, why me? And then it was just like, nah, it's for you for a reason.
Yeah.
Because like, now you know what he's going through when he says to you, man, Dash, I can't stop on this leg, man. For some reason, because of this. So now I get it, you know what I mean? So now how can I still help him be more efficient in a situation where now his body is in a certain way, you know what I mean? So all my experiences was just to help me gather as much information as possible to just kind of be able to just send it back to like my brothers, my friends, cousin, family, whoever, you know? And like, that's where I started. Like now at this age, like, you know, we talked about a little earlier, like my identity was through basketball. Mm-hmm. I think that's where now my identity is through the Lord, because now I understand like my purpose isn't basketball. I'm used by basketball to give information and help others through God. Like, you get what I'm saying? Wow. So like, absolutely. So for me, like, I know what my purpose is now. I'm still love this thing right here, but like, I know what my purpose is. You know what I'm saying? I know why I'm here. I know like the reason why God is using that for me to push a certain, you know, word for him. And just to be able to support others and inspire, bro. Like, because I always hear people say, life is about inspiring others. I heard it, but I never understood it. Because it's easy to hear something, but it's a difference when you understand, like, when you, like, the light bulb turned on. Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm so proud of you, man.
Like, real talk.
No, real talk, man. From the day I met you till now, you're the same Dash.
Yeah, it's still you.
But the growth of the your mental, the growth of this part of you, man, has just been crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy, man, to see. Because, yeah, me and Dash used to argue and stuff because I had a court at 360. He was hot, boy. Yeah, I had that court. And he would, it was crazy because he was training pros and stuff. Yeah. I had some little kids over there, three little kids who don't even play basketball no more. Yeah. Like, looking back on it, I'm like, yo, that's crazy. But Dash was you were a hothead, right?
Yeah.
And he would cuss you out, almost fight you. And it was all for the game of basketball.
Yeah. Though.
Period. It was about that work. And it came from your work ethic. Hey, they ain't working as hard. They ain't using this court efficiently. Yeah. I can see where it comes from now. Yeah. It's like, I get it, but now the selflessness that you have for other people, you know what I mean? Like, you are truly giving your body. You're tearing your knee so Jaylen Brown could be who he is, low-key. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you out in Boston with him, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is in a drill or doing
something. Nah, it wasn't even in the drill, bro. Like,
you was hooping?
I was hooping. I was just hooping, like, you know what I'm saying? So I ain't gonna even put that on my man JV. Oh, okay, that had nothing to do with him. But I was out there working with him, you know what I mean? Like, but like, we was just hooping, you know what I mean? Hooping and playing. And it's crazy because crazy, like, because even after I tore my knee, like, I'm thinking, like, shit, how I'm gonna tell him I tore my knee playing basketball while I'm out here for him? We went to just like another gym, just kind of like messing around. And it was funny because the day I tore my knee, I remember having a camp for like 14 kids in Boston. Like, so the day I tore it and I went home, the dude said, man, they took me to see this doctor. They was like, he was like, yeah, bro, your knee's done. You're gonna need surgery, right? Mm-hmm. He came over, he felt da-da-da. But they were all chilling about it. And mind you, like, I didn't get an MRI yet, nothing, right? They just give me a little brace, and they just like, hold that up right there. And I had these 14 kids, and my guy Mike was with me. And like, literally, bro, like, I went and I did the camp still. Like, the day I tore my knee, say I tore my knee on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
The next day, I still went and trained 14 kids, and I had crutches with my torn knee. Didn't even, like, go get it fixed. A full patella tear, full rupture.
I guess you couldn't mess it up anymore.
And I'm just like, yeah, right? So I was still up there, and my leg, like, I'm standing, like, on a thing like this, and I'm trying to hold myself up.
Dang.
And we out there, and like, my man Mike was like, yo, you're crazy, bro. I was just like, nah, I told him I was gonna come.
Committed.
like, right? But I remember at the end, my knees were swollen like crazy because, you know what I mean? Then I want to get an MRI. It was like, yo, this is bad. Like, it's like, you went into the camp on this leg still? You still kind of like, I'm like, bro, I just love the game. Like, even after surgery, Like, I was like, I came back here when I came back to LA after surgery. I had a camp with like 15, 20 kids from Japan, I think. It was Japan or China, one of the two, I can't remember. But I had a camp with them, and I was on crutches, like still trying to teach. Getting ice bags every second, like, yo, switch them out, let's get the next one. Like, I was in the gym with crutches. Man. JB was like, man, I need you to come back out here. I'll make sure you're straight. I was like, Jay, I can't get no blood clots, so I don't want to, like, right. fly like that. You get what I'm saying? So he's like, I get that, whatever we got to do to make it safe. I was like, look, if I could stretch my legs out, that's when them boys started putting me first class. Hey, I like first class. I said, shout out to JB, man. I like first class, man.
I got to stretch the leg out.
Man, I was getting so much love. Like,
hey, I'm going to say that now. Anytime I book a trip, like, hey, I got my knee because the blood clots. Like, I'm going to get that first class, dog.
Yeah, man. But, no, like, you know what I mean? Dumb. That's just dumb, man. Like, and I love him for that because, man, he took care of me. He made sure I was straight. He made sure I was good. Mm-hmm. Made sure I was comfortable. Anything I needed, he made sure, like, that, you good, boom, boom, boom. And the same, I still feel the same for him, too. Anything he needed, we just made sure, like, we brought a staff of guys with me. We was all be able to, like, I was talking through certain things, and my guys were just...
People don't get, man, we hopping around on this one. I know. But it is what it is. People don't get that you get hired because of the information you have.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not because you could physically move and all that stuff. That's me right now, like... Like, yes, I'm in the gym with NBA dudes. I have the information. I'm not where that's all I want to do. Like, you see, I'm shifting my focus on different stuff.
Yeah.
Is that, but I do have the IQ, but I'm used in that space as a, you know, a defender, a crash test dummy. And I'm good at it.
Yeah.
But I don't get paid the money.
Mm-hmm.
You get paid the money. The Chris Johnsons get paid the money.
Yeah.
The Phil Handy's because of the information
and
how you guys communicate it and how a pro knows that you're giving them something that is making them better. Even though they probably have more information than us, because they, like you said, they're the ones on. We worked out PG down at Peach Jam. Dash did. I was guarding him. I was trying to lock PG up. It didn't work. he was teaching inside of the session. He was just, it was piggybacking off of you. You were piggybacking off of him, but they know more too.
Yeah.
And it's just like, people don't get that. It's like those people, if you want to be a pro trainer, first you have to learn what they know.
No, for sure.
But also be a student to them.
Yes.
And so.
Yes. Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Not real talk. Like, you know what I mean? And that's like something like I love about PG right now. Like, he on this quest of just giving back information. And it started like a couple years ago, like, you know, like where he just really wants to teach younger guys and really mentor and really talk to them and show them what he's seeing. And like, he wants to leave the game in a better place. And for me, that's amazing, bro. Anytime a guy comes in and you want to leave the game in a better place and you want to give back, can't take it with you. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well, you know. So I love
seeing him. Stop playing and teach your brothers and cousins how to play.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. So like, when I see guys do that, like, I can relate to it. I can feel it. Like, you be like, damn, like damn, he really taking the time. Cause like, it's stopping his reps. Where most guys be like, man, you messing up my reps. I've got to be a little selfish. You know what I mean? Where he's in this mode where like, he's still working, but he's giving back to make others stronger. So I think like, him like stepping into this space is like great for him as a vet, because like, it builds up his leadership qualities and it strengthens the unit as a whole. Because like, now taking that over to the Sixers and being able to like, hey, look, boy, this is what I see.
They're gonna need
that. You get what I'm saying? Because you're only good as your last, right? So like, if you start, you know, doing that and sending that kind of energy around everyone, you know what I mean? Everybody has the ability and chance to kind of like, to get information. And like, he one of them dudes, man. Like, if I'm a young guy, I'm a player, man, I'm on the same team with him, I wouldn't be afraid to pick his brain. I know a lot of guys are afraid to go up to their vets and talk. I know P is definitely a dude you should definitely go up to and talk. Jaylen Brown, same. Cat Carlin, same. Like, these guys want to tell you everything.
Yeah.
I think guys, like, just feel like, I don't want to bother nobody. I don't want to seem like I'm sweating them. You got to put your ego aside. These guys want to share everything. They want
the best players that I've worked with are the ones who give the most
information. Exactly.
Chris Paul, like, man, he gave me a whole, we worked out, gave me a whole clinic on his pivots and no shot pocket. Like, an extra 30 minutes. Didn't have to.
He didn't have to.
5 a.m. Like, we up at, like, and I'm, well, I'm, of course, I'm taking all that information, but it's like him, Bron, D-Wade, like, all the greats.
They want to give share. You. They want to share.
Man, yeah, 100%.
They want to.
All right, let's get back to you. Let's get back to you really quick. Why did you move to California?
Man, like, you know.
Talk about the situation, too.
It's funny.
It's
man.
A loaded question.
I moved out here because this dude, Steve Campbell, back in the days, always got love for Steve, man. Definitely helped, inspired, push the pace to what I'm trying to do. What I'm doing, you know. Steve brought me out here and he was like, man, got this agency, wanted you to do like ball handling stuff, whatever. I mean, you know, things didn't work out. It didn't plan out the way we wanted it to. They was talking about having me have an apartment, car to get around. Obviously, when I get out here, none of that was available. You know, that was tough because, like, I came out here, I literally had like $100 and I never shared a story with nobody, so I guess you get it first. But like, I had like $100 and two basketballs. No, and I think that's why people saw that fire in me, because it was more of like, bro, I gotta get up out of this situation. Like, you feel me? And I'm gonna work, like, and it was just one of those things where it was just like, no place to sleep, no car, $100. Like, nothing is set up the way they said it was going to be set up. So now I'm sleeping in the garage. I'm taking showers at 360 in the gym or this other gym. We should do some fitness app, brushing my teeth in the gym. I remember, like, recording myself daily. Like, especially California, hot as hell. So, like, I'm up all day and I got to wait till, like, it get real dark to, like, take a nap, because then it's going to cool down. And like, I sleep on this little thing in the, it was in the garage, like a little, you know, the little floaties people put in the pool?
Yeah.
So I used to use it for like a little
mattress pad.
Dang. And use my bag as a pillow. So I remember, like, you know what I mean? It was funny, man. It was funny, but like, it built a lot of character. It built a lot of resilience in me. And you know what I mean? It really like showed me who I was, like, you know what I'm saying? And who I am. And, you know, I ain't afraid of nothing. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like what people see that might come across as aggressive, hothead. I tell guys all the time, bro, I ain't never disrespect nobody off the court. Like, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, nobody could ever look at me and be like, man, you was just disrespecting me off the court. Anything that ever happened or ever went down has always been through them lines. And I've always felt like them lines just what it was. Like,
it's a battle room.
But that's the makeup of how I saw the game, from Mike to Kobe. We step in them lines, like, I'm not a key, haha, like, I'm not, there's nothing funny about this. Like, I think now as I'm older, I'm a little bit more like, I kind of give grace to more people that don't really care about the game. Like, I realize you don't really love the game the way you say you do, so I don't really press on you. You know what I mean? But I think for the ones that want to be special, that's always been my approach. You know, like, even to this day, every now and then, like, certain guys, like, guys know, like, I tell them, like, you know, I was working out with Moses yesterday, certain dudes, I work out with them, Johnny, certain guys, like, JB, even PG, like, PG was telling a little kid, Dash, get on me sometimes too, bro. Like, he said, don't take it personal. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's one thing about me, and, like, I stand on, like, you know, obviously I don't curse people out to the extent I used to, but, like, I think I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
You pull
like,
the greatness out of people.
Yeah, like, some come pressure on, to like, that. Come on. Some like,
good pressure to that.
Yeah, like, because to the end of the day, if you don't have a good year or do something well, I'm also okay with taking the blame.
I tell people all the time, I don't know if you know this. I tell people all the time, when my son turns 10, I'm like, he's training with Dash. And I'm telling Dash to go off.
Yeah.
Like, our kids are the same age, too. So,
yeah, facts,
so I'm like, no, because there's a sense of toughness that I won't be able to provide. It's just not in my demeanor to coach that way. That's just who I am. But I know that he needs that.
Yeah.
I know he needs a, like, especially somebody who's not his dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to him in a different way. The pressure I'm going to put on him is a overall life type of thing. When it comes to this hoop, and he's a hooper, I'm like, there's something, I've seen it. I've seen the Kihei take this crazy jump. He was already good. He was already skilled. But when you start working with Kihei, he just went, boom, Virginia. Like, it wasn't like people think that, oh, people were asleep on Kihei. Yes, but Kihei was also in the gym working hours.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in the gym with a lot of dudes, man. Like, with a lot of guys and, you know, and, like, I love the grind and, like, watching dudes like even Brandon Williams.
Oh, man.
I know he was just with Dallas, like, you know what I mean? Like, I spent, like, time, like, because it's bigger than just the skill work. It's really, like you said, like, it's like a toughness and an edge to how you approach everything. And, like, I think now as I've gotten older, like, when guys tell me to get on their kids, I'd be like, just, let's not push them away from basketball too soon, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I've learned now to, like, when to kind of bring that, and when to kind of step off, when to kind of like, yo, what's up, bro? Like, when to, like, what we on? Like, you know what I mean? And, like,
it's a balance.
So now, just balancing from before where it was just like, I'm at you, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think even for me, that was a growing point for me to just understand, like, just take my time and feel people out. Like, it's like certain days guys are walking the gym and you can tell the energy isn't there. You know, how do I motivate them? Do I just yell at them? No, right? But maybe I need to say something a little different. Like one day, me and P was working out and, you know, you could just tell like he was kind of like pushing that day. And he you could tell like, cause some days are tough. We're humans. I have those days, right? Like some days are hard. So I understand that. And that's why I say I give people grace, but then with the grace, finding a different way to get them going again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's the mental side of the game is what I fell in love with now the most than anything outside of skill and X's and O's, right? If I had to go in an order, it would be mental, X and O's, skills, or skills and X and O's, they just go hand in hand to me, right? But that mental side, that push, because like once you got that side, it's easy to teach you everything else. But when you like, don't, when you just want to quit, you just want to give up, it's hard. But that day, P, I'm not saying you want to give up or nothing, but you can just tell it was just a tougher day than normal. And when I told him, I was like, man, your son be watching you, bro. He went from missing, we was doing a full court shooting drill and to end the workout. And he was just kind of shooting. And you know, when you miss one, you miss two, you miss three, you start just like, whatever, right? You just throwing the ball up at this point and running back and forth. And I was just like, bro, your son watching you, bro. Like, your legacy, bro. Like, he watches that, bro. And literally, I seen dude go from missing to making 10 straight running back and forth off the dribble.
Tapped into something.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, you know what I mean? It got to be bigger than you. And once you start realizing it's bigger than you, then it's a different responsibility. Because when you leave it all on you, sometimes you be like, bro, I done did what I had to do, man. Shit. You know what I mean? But when you start realizing, like, your family depends on this. Like, my son depends on this. My daughter depends on this. My name depends on this. This organization depends on, like, then it's not no longer just about you. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think once guys realize that, then, because when you just leave it on you, sometimes you ain't enough.
I don't think you ever are.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think, individually, when you bank it all on yourself, I think we've all done that at some point in life. Yeah. We're trying to bet on ourselves. Nah, man, CORE wasn't birthed because I wanted, like, because, oh, man, Johnny started CORE, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, Johnny's it. I'm going to get my name. He's going to make it. I'm going to make it. Nah, it was all him and all the other kids. I was like, I can't do this unless they come. And so I got to make sure I give them good product and give them what they need, right? And it was that birth core. Been there for 10 years, 500 kids later. It's like, nah, I'm not talking about what Todd did. I'm talking about what these kids did, mm-hmm. pointing back to them. And so, man, that is the, once we see that, right? And even when we're in it, I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just realize it now. It's like,
yeah.
It's because I invested into these kids that this business is successful.
Yeah.
You're investing into these people, so your brand and what you do is successful.
Yeah.
And taking those leaps. Sleeping on the pool noodle to where you are, when did you take that biggest jump? How long were you in that situation, and when did things start really changing for you?
Man.
And I'm talking business, I'm talking financial, because the mentality was always there.
Yeah.
You wasn't going to stay there. The mentality's been birthed in you because of how you were raised, right? So,
I mean, the intangibles. I think I met Katino Mobley. He was dope, man. I started training his kids. He used to always, like, talk to me. And it went from training his kids to just training a bunch of younger guys around. They all wanted to work on their handle, and being at 360, you know, that was, you know, placing yourself, and this to anybody out there, man, just placing yourself in the right spot is important. Product placement, right? I'm a product, and I think I was just fortunate and blessed to just always put myself in the right places. 360 had all the guys coming in, working out. They always saw me dribbling. They're like, I like what you're doing. I like how that look. Show me that. Boom, boom, boom. I show it. And guys would see it. And before you know it, you get a client, you get another client, you get another client, you get another kid. So I see a lot of times people struggle with trying to figure out how they pick up their business and things like that. I just think sometimes you got to place yourself in a place where you're valued more. You know, I think being in New York, like, love it, but I don't know if I was in an area where I was valued the right way. So being able to come out here, yes, struggle for a little bit, it's okay. But just place myself in a place where, like, you know, like, people could see the value. And it just kept moving. Like, so, like, I would tell anybody that just, like, place your product in the right place. But also, like, you gotta have a good product, right? Because I think some people are just kind of like lazy about it. Like, they just kind of like, they just think people should do stuff for them. Like, for me, my product has never been about who I work with. So when people always ask me, somebody met me last night, it's like, man, tell them that you work with all these guys. Da-da-da, tell them, yeah. I mean, I'm like, nah, it's just me. And he's looking at me like, nah, tell him. Like, he's like, he's just playing modest. I was like, I appreciate those guys 100%. They definitely has helped my brand grow and everything I've done, but I've always believed that my brand is also about myself being who I am and pushing the work I push. Because it's like, guy asked me the other day, he's like, man, come on the road with me. I was like, bro, I'd rather train these kids, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, for real, like, I'm about the kids first. I know people see me train a lot of NBA guys now and stuff like that. But, like, I like the kids, too. Like, don't get this twisted. Like, you know what I mean? The guys always, you know what I'm saying?
You've always done it. Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you think about Ben, Johnny, Jabari Walker, all these guys that are NBA guys now, they were kids first.
Yeah, like, right.
And I knew them since they were kids.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, for me, like, I'm never going to go away from that. You know what I mean? Like I love basketball. I don't love NBA players.
Right.
They just become that.
No, they're the outcome right? of your hard work. And they're the outcome of what you created,
like,
man.
You know what I mean?
You've been this person, and you've been that dude on the court forever.
Ever.
It's just like you said. So my mentor always tells me, luck is an acronym, and the first acronym is L, is location.
Yeah.
If you're in the right place at the right time, things happen.
And that's just what happened, right?
Yep.
You know, but even the players at the NBA level could feel it because they know I'm not here.
Yep.
For no fan stuff, for no, like, yo, I want to say I know you, are we cool? Like, I'm not here for that. I'm here for the same thing I'm here for with the kids. And that's for us to be successful, for us to get the job done, for us to be able to elevate your game. and push you forward. Like, you said it's all about the game.
That's the name of the show, so yeah. I appreciate it.
Elevate your game, man, you know what I mean? So, like, real talk, like, that's what it's always been about for me. It's always been about the game. Like, even obviously, sometimes, you know, we go out there, we record some content, and we post, right? Because we still run a business. These guys still run a brand. Their basketball is a brand. As a trainer, coach, teacher, whatever you are, that's still your brand and your business at the same time. But to the end of the day, the work comes first. I always tell guys, like, when they start having all these shoots and these other things they got to go to, and they're in this playing slump where they're not shooting well or doing well, but you're out here doing all these photo shoots. And I said, listen, bro, I'm not telling you not to take none of these marketing deals. I'm not telling you not to go to this and this and this and whatever your people are telling you got to go to. I'm just telling you, without the grind, they would never be here in the first place.
Right.
So always put that first. You get what I'm saying? So, like, for me, like, yes, I want to, like, build my business and, right? But people could feel it, like, my work come first, like, because that's what even brought anything in the first place. You know what I mean? So, like, that's going to always come first to me. You know what I mean? So before you see a camera pull out and me recording you, or whatever, that's going to always come first to me. Like, how can we make you have a better year? How could we help you be better for your team and have some success? And that goes down to trickle down to even the young kids. How, right? And you can feel that. I don't know what it is, but I really just love basketball, bro. Like, for real. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You said, like, it. You voiced it today. It's that connection to your upbringing, to your grandmother, to seeing something that you can control. And if you grind at it, can bring you so much.
Yeah.
And it's brought you so much in your life. It literally took you through high school. First, like you said, it started with, hey, I'm going to get some girls. Yeah. But then the love of the game.
Yeah.
And then for your providing for your family, your brothers and your cousins to be where they are. Then when you moved out here, it was how you had to make money being homeless and broke.
Yeah.
And now it is... it's giving you purpose.
Not for sure.
It's not the purpose, but it's
giving you purpose. You know what I mean? Like, for sure.
Man, no, that's why we're here. Like, this is why this show exists. This is why this show is so blessed, is because this
ball,
man, it's so crazy. It's so crazy how God uses something that we have passion about, and we're able to impact so many
people.
So
through the basketball, man.
I love this thing too, man.
For sure.
I want to go hoop.
Like, right? You want to go outside and go hoop. And it's funny, man, because, you know, we were just talking about that journey on the business side. But, like, man, there were so many people along the way. Like, my son's mother, bro, like, she was, like, one of the first people to, like, really, like, give me the opportunity to grow. You know what I'm saying? I will always be grateful for
that. What do you mean
by
that? What does she do?
Like, just, like, she's a beautiful woman, right? And like, I have no problem saying that she's a great mom. We're great friends. We have a great son together. And, like, when I first met her, like a lot of guys wanted to talk to her.
Right? Gotcha. Okay.
She spoke to me, and she had probably no business talking to me. Right, like, at that point in my life, right? And she kind of, like, just gave me, like, a place to stay. Like, she knew I was gonna work hard, and she was just like, hey, boom, boom, boom. Even though I stayed, I made sure I went out and worked hard and try to pay rent too, and make sure, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just on her. Like, I had no car. She made sure I was able to get around and get to clients and make sure I was straight, you know what I mean? So, like, she played a huge, like, role in my life. You know what I'm saying? She does today still because she has my son.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
right? And, like, even for her, man, I'm super grateful for her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and just thinking about, like, that hope. Because I can't leave her out because she was such a huge part of the journey.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And, like, from her to, like, then meeting D Fish, coaching on the Sparks.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rashad McCants, like, these guys, like, all impact me, and people just impact me in so many different ways. And, like, you know, when I started working with the Sparks, there was a coach called Coach T. She's the head coach of the Dallas Wings now. We're still good friends. We talk all the time. Like, she introduced me to, we was always like top three in defense with her. And I would always like see her watching my workouts. And I said, like, yo, why are you always looking? She's like, because I want to figure out how to stop it. Because that was her thing. Ooh, I like and that. I would always watch her do defensive coverages. And I would always think, how can I score against her, right? So like, you know, like just all these experiences along the way has shaped me into everything I feel today.
What, you know, so two-part question here. What was it about you that allowed those connections to happen for you to grow into who you are today?
I think me being a person that loves information, and like sometimes I allow my ego to get in the way, because when you want to be great, and you have to be able to balance the ability to be open to learn, but still allowing yourself to know that you're great, right? And I see this in players a lot of times where they struggle to get the knowledge because they feel like the person is talking to me like I don't know shit. So like, I used to always tell Johnny, I used to be like, yo, Johnny, I'm like, you're better than me. Okay, let me say this before I tell you what I'm about to say to you. Because a lot of these guys, and I get it though, man. You're in a world where you gotta protect your confidence, you have to protect your mentality, you have to protect your heart and your vision. So sometimes, like, that wall is so big and strong that the people that actually care about you, you block them out. Because you've been blocking all these other people out and trying to block all this noise out. But I've always tried to help guys get to the point where they can just say, like, I'm still great, but let me hear what he got to say.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I've learned how to balance that. I've learned how to.
If you could sum it up in one sentence, how do ego, you do that? How do you get rid of their ego?
How you get rid of it? You know, just like, you almost gotta like reinsure them. Like I remember, you're good, bro. Like, you're talented. Watch what you've done. This is your body of work.
Gotcha.
But your ego right now is blocking you from hearing, right? And seeing what's important. Like, you know, and I watch guys, man. I watch a lot of guys, man. Like do that with their game. Like, even on the business side, like, I've talked to young guys so many times about like putting things in perspective, like even with their money. I was like, I see some guys hate paying for training sometimes, right? And they'll be like, I'll be like, bro, like, this is an investment to your business, bro. Just like these coaches gotta go pay for basketballs, pay for gym time, pay for space, right? That's an investment to having this situation together for the business and for you to be your best. So when guys don't want to pay anything because they grew up in a space of, well, basketball should just be free because everybody's been doing it for free for me, like, then I think it loses sight of what's really important for these guys in the long run. Because now you watch guys, and I always get on guys, I make fun of them, I'll be like, oh man, using the club last night, huh? Okay, I see you out there, you doing your thing. I see you looking. And people look at it like, you watching. It's not pocket watching. It's just more of like telling you, like, bro, make sure, have the fun. Mm-hmm. Have the fun. I'm not telling you what to do. You deserve these things. But you see a guy like LeBron that invests so much into his body, so much into his game. It's an investment. When I watch guys, I'm like, do you know you're also a businessman? You're not only a basketball player, but your body is your business. Mm-hmm. Your game is your business. And how you invest into it, not just financially, mentally, physically, right? Getting rest, doing certain things, like how you move, deal with things, that's all your investment. So I've taught that to a lot of young guys. Like, I'll sit down and I'll tell them, like, yo, bro, like, you gonna get this back. Yeah. That's why I'm so happy for Johnny, because it was just like, he was one of the guys I had to teach that to. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, And he understands it now. Me and him laugh about it, we talk about it. And I always tell him, because it sounds funny, right? Because in some guy's head, they're literally thinking, oh, you just want to get more money from me.
Right.
I said, I don't want to just get more money from you. What you don't understand is this, right? You pay into yourself, watch how much back you get. Yeah. So if you've paid 50K or 20K for a summer or 100 something for the year for somebody to work with in your game, right? And you make, let's throw out a random number, 6 million back or 50 million back or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a flip.
Man, what?
Like, what are we talking about?
That's a real investment.
Not only that, I
like how you said that like, they think they want that you want to get more money. If you ain't training Johnny, you training somebody else for that amount. Not your money. It's first off my time, my value.
Yeah.
But that investment into yourself, that's a self-development principle.
Yeah. And you got to do that. But so many guys are brought up in this space where it's just like, man, free. You should do it for this. We shouldn't have to do it for that. We shouldn't have to do that because we have to also teach these guys about, you know, I'm not saying you have to be nobody's father. I'm not nobody's father, but I'm just saying you have to also show them that there's responsibilities in life because we have them.
Yeah.
I have a responsibility to my family, my son. I have a responsibility to the workspace. I have a responsibility to the guys that work with me to pay them. We have a responsibility.
Right.
Like, you get what I'm saying? That this just helps everybody win. And once you look at it that way and not look at it like, man, you just trying to take from me. Nobody's trying to take from you. Now, are there people that just want to take from you? Yes, 100%. 100%. But I think and that's what I said, a lot of guys get mixed up on what's what.
Yeah.
Right? And that goes back to, like, protecting yourself and, like having this wall up. So even on that side, it's just like, bro, that dude, like, I remember one time, one of my guys threw the basketball at one of the guys rebounding, right? Like, because he was frustrated by his shooting, he just threw it. I was like, and the kid had to run and go get it, and I'm just like, yo, why would you do that, bro? He's like, man, I'm just a little frustrated. I'm like, bro, like, he's in here hours with you day after day, running, chasing your rebound for you to get better, bro. Why would you want to treat him like that?
Right.
And when you start really breaking it down to them,
making everybody a human, man.
Like, you get what I'm saying? Then they start realizing, like, yo, I'm bugging. Yeah. I'm really bugging. I'm like, bro, these dudes are running through walls for y'all, bro. And then I watch people go give people things that don't bring no value to them. And you be like, bro, but this dude right here, come on. His body throwing his body through the, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
And especially, like, don't get me wrong, like, there's guys that come in just to get a quick picture and quick this, and I think sometimes you gotta be able to feel that out too,
right,
as a player, to just be like, nah, I know why you're here. You just trying to use my likeness. So I get it. But I don't move and operate in that type of space. And I don't have guys around me in that type of space.
Right.
I done had guys that come in and try to take pics with guys right off the back and try to, like, nah, we not here for that.
Right.
We not about to use these guys in that type of way.
I know when it was at Peace Jam. I'm like, I ain't stepping in this picture.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, this is my first time working with Dash since pre-draft 6 years ago.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, the other dudes, I spoke to them. I said, take that down. Don't do that again. This is not what this is. Don't record them. Don't do that. You're not here for that.
Yeah.
It's not about that. Yeah. And so I also have a responsibility to protect them as well.
Right.
Right. So, like, not only, like, tell them, hey, make the right choices, but I also have a responsibility to protect them from people coming in just trying to, like, use and, like, take whatever likeness they've worked so hard for their whole years. Like, and I always believe that, like, bro, like, this dude put in all these years for you to just come in and try to grab a quick picture and be like, yo, look what I just worked with. Like, no, we're not doing that. Not over here, at least. I'm not letting nobody do that to any guy I work with.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So, you know, just being able to protect these guys, push them in the right way. Like I said, you know, from NBA to high school to middle school, whatever the case may be, just being able to protect them, like, lead them the right way, and show them, like, that we actually care about them getting better. And I think when you do things the right way, when you research the game and you spend all this time, they can feel it. Like, you could just feel it, bro. You can feel when guys care about your game. You know what I mean? You can feel when it's real, it's genuine. You could tell if guys are watching your stuff, you know what I mean? And you know, and for me, like, that's what I've always built it on. I've always built it on the truth of everything, on the love of everything. Like, I ain't never had nobody tell me, like, bro, you trying to finesse me. Those words I've never heard that about me.
No.
But I've heard Dash is an asshole. I've heard Dash is aggressive, right? I'd rather hear that than hear Dash is a liar or Dash is dishonest or Dash don't, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Right. So for me, like, cool. Like, I know I care about the game. Sometimes I might be a little aggressive with it, but, like, you know, through the years, I was able to tone it down a little bit.
Second part to that question, real quick, because we got to hop into the next segment. Those people that you named along your journey, the D Fishes, the Coach T, Cat, all these people, Rashad, what's the correlation of all of them? Like, what's the thing about them you think that is there a similarity in all of them that helped you along this journey?
Yeah. Every last one of them are information seekers. Like, they're all people that loves knowledge, loves learning, and always open to learning.
Dope.
So, like, God makes no mistakes, bro. Like, if you foul, you're going to meet foul people. Hmm. Good things happen to good people. One of my guy, Twan, he always tell me that. I'm supposed to meet him later today. He always tell me, Dash, you're a good dude. Good things going to happen. You know how many times people did me wrong? Circle back. I still open my arms. People are like, how you do that?
Man, people ask me that all the time.
They be like, how, Dash, how? Look what he did. I said, if I'm walking in the love and the energy of God, and we are in that spirit in which he is, how can someone that's a follower and a worshiper turn my back on my brother or sister? Like, now, am I smart enough to not put myself in certain situations to be, yes, but will I turn my back? No, I just don't know how to. Or like, what's up, man, you good? Let me see if this person can help you. Let me see if that can help you. Let me see, right? Maybe I'll be able to point you in the right direction. Maybe I can't take that risk with you in certain ways, but in my heart, bro, I don't, like, you know, people be like, man, dudes be haters, this hating. Like, I don't even got a hater. I don't even know what haters are. Like, people be like, yo, man, they do that. I'm like, nobody hates on me. I don't have that energy or feeling.
So even with you, because of your style of coaching, I didn't want to be seen in the same places with you.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I don't want to be connected to that. Like, I'm like the cussing, the aggressiveness. Like, that's not me. I didn't agree with it. That never stopped me from ever showing you love.
No, for sure.
Stopped. And even to this day, it makes me, like, because, like, both of our growth, right, over just time and seeing each other's grind for all these years, that rings true. Is like, people probably know that or think that I don't mess with you. Until this is gonna come out in a week.
And
they're gonna be like, oh. And it's because of that. It's because the love of God. Like, what? No, I'm showing love to my brother Dash. I know what you're about.
No, for sure.
Behind all the whatever people say, what I know, what I see. I know. I remember your journey getting close to God with Pastor Kelvin.
For sure, all them years.
And like when you was with your baby's mom, your son's mother.
Yeah.
And growing through that and just remembering all that and seeing where you are at now is like, that's God. There's nothing else to explain that but God.
No, 100%.
And your commitment to that.
100%.
And so I just want to say thank you again, man, for being authentically you this whole time and letting God lead you, man.
Like I said, bro, like when people tell me, like, even you, when you say, like, oh, people feel like this, I don't even be knowing what people feel.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like I've gotten to a point in my life, bro, I don't worry about what people feel or what people see. I just focus on facts. I don't move off emotions, right? Because emotions change. You could feel good about me one day. You might feel bad about me one day, right? But what are the facts?
Yeah.
Right? And for me, I just stand on facts, and I just stand on the word of what I'm trying to believe in and what I'm focusing on. And if our mind is so powerful, and if our minds are so, like, you know, we talk about manifestation. So, like, why would I spend my time even thinking about anything someone has to say about me that isn't of positivity, that helps manifest things for me in a certain direction? Yeah. So for me, that's why I don't even know if I have a hater. I don't know if people feel a way. I don't even spend time to even long enough to even process it, because I'm so focused on what I'm focused on that, like, I don't know about anything else.
Fix the net, dog. That's your fix the net right there. We didn't even got to do the segment.
No, for real. Nah, like,
that's real talk, man.
Like, I don't really focus on none of that, bro. I just focus on my journey.
That's dope,
you know,
man.
What I mean? So,
man. Real quick, man. We have to, Karina got to get out of here today.
Yep.
And so, don't shake your head. No, we pushed. So, this is what happened. Me and Dash was at Derek Fisher's birthday party last night.
We
had a time, which Karina has an obligation to get to, and it's okay because we respect your time. Yeah. And so we're going to, Dash is just going to come back because we have a whole lot more to talk about. But we're going to hop into this next segment. My Rushmore, your top four ball handlers. All time. This is going to be interesting. Yes, your top four.
All time, man. Because, like, I really like people that can handle the basketball. Like, you know what I'm saying?
We didn't even get into their whole ball handling.
I know.
Mastery. Like, yeah, but this man has the ball on it. Like, it is crazy. I've tried to do some of his drills for years. Still can't do them.
I love ball handling, man. That's my thing. Top four?
Top four. Not in any order.
Not in any order. Top four. All right. I'm taking it to the streets too, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going Skip. Skip was one of my favorite ball handlers to watch growing up. I'm going.
That's Ray for Austin. Skip to the Lou for Ray, all you youngins. Yeah, don't know Skip.
Yeah,
Google him. YouTube him, whatever you do.
Like, these are dudes that I watch handling the ball. Like, you know what I'm saying? That made me want to be a ball handler. I also watch Ali Moe. Like, it was nothing like watching a dude at that height. Like, as I know, people see PG and all these tall dudes dribble, but, like, Ali Moe was one of the first, like, tall dudes that I saw, like, dribble.
Yeah.
Like, so when I watch PG now, I'd be like, yo, that was Ali Moe, bro. Like, but just P just more well-rounded as a full-on player.
Yeah.
But, like, Ali Moe was that dude, 6-something, coming down, and he had.
You can check him out on N1 mixtapes.
N1 mixtape. I watched a lot of N1 mixtapes.
YouTube it.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely Kyrie Irving, for sure. Like, you can't leave Kyrie out of that conversation. Sure. You know what I mean? And, man, this is my dog, too. I just finally met him in person, too. And it's crazy. I think, like Jamal Crawford, bro.
Oh, for sure. Okay.
Like, you get what I'm saying?
Oh, no,
like,
for sure.
Jamal Crawford, like, was like him, Skip, Ali Moe, Kyrie. Like, those are my four. Like, those four right there. Yeah. Like, those are dudes that I was like, damn, like, you know what I mean? And, like, I ain't gonna lie, just to throw a fifth in, just cause I've been spending some time with him lately in the gym, Darius Garland.
Crazy, bro. I can't guard this man.
I cannot guard this man.
Yeah,
he's like, it's so funny because, like, he one of them dudes, like, he just like messing with you.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he's messing with you, you know what I mean?
Wow.
He just, like, I like DG a lot. Like, I think he definitely, like, he's up there.
Yeah.
And, like, dudes that can, like, handle the basketball and
crazy
and just creative with it, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, for sure.
My four, So I got Kyrie.
Uh huh.
I got DG actually.
Uh huh.
Because he crossed me too many times. Jamal Crawford.
Uh huh.
This is freedom, like you said, the freedom with the ball. And actually, I got you, man. I've seen probably, what, 200, 300 dudes at the top level handle the ball. I don't think I've ever seen anybody dribble the ball better than you, period.
That's a big statement.
No, it's like, and I know most of it's like drill work and all this, but, man, I've studied it because I steal stuff.
Everybody
know this. Look, I go to the Drew Henlins, the Chris Johnsons, the Phil Handys, the Dashes. I look at what y'all do and I try to do, like, why would I not steal from the greatest? I would try to take your drills and show the kids. And I'm like, nah, here, just do this. Look what Dash's doing. Like, I want you to do that drill. Man, like, for real, the creativity, man, and the focus on movement and how it applies to the game, man. I was actually watching your clip. I think it's your most recent clip with PG. The simple stuff. They're just in their base, knocking that offhand away, pulling that hand. Like, those little details were so important.
You want to know what's so funny, bro? Since we on the air, we talking about this. So, Michael Lancaster, that's one of my really good friends. We talk, he do a lot of understanding about ball handling and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's one of my guys I really watch growing up. And because I watch everybody, they're doing a lot of offhand stuff now. And when I first started with two ball dribbling, a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people should be like, you don't dribble with two basketballs when you play, da 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 da. All the nonsense, all right? And why are you holding all this and this and doing all, right? I've always tried to help guys understand this, bro. I've always been good at having an active offhand because I've always dribbled two basketballs. I always had a tennis. So like a lot of people say hand, I don't care about none of that stuff. I've always focused on keeping my other hand working.
Yes.
Right? So for me, anytime I played and I handled the ball, my other hand was always doing something because I've always dribbled two basketballs. Mm. So no matter what, if I'm dribbling and I change and I go get the other one, look what it's doing. It's in a position of protecting again.
Yeah.
Right? And like I've always tried to show guys that for so many years because there are going to be times where there's no Chris Johnson around or no Dash around or no Olin's around or no Drew around or whoever your trainer is. What are you going to do to work on your offhand when nobody's there and you by yourself?
Right.
Oh,
man,
so that's where I started creating drills for. I started creating things that you can do when no one's there to still get the same effect. Right. Because I might not have a friend and be like, yeah, come here so I could swipe your hand up and swipe over your hand. But guess what? I can dribble with all this tennis ball, catch it, and I get the same motion.
Yeah.
Right? I could get a weighted ball so it could feel strength and get the same motion. Now it's a weighted ball. It feels like a hand coming right in there, right? And now I'm dribbling two and I'm holding one, like switching. Now it gives me the same feel of, like, obviously the contact and physicality is in there, but it gives you that feel of that person on your body. And now as they get around to your opposite hand, you got to switch it out and then get back to protecting.
Yeah.
So I just gave y'all a jewel. Y'all can keep that one.
Man. Yeah, no. I think people need to hear that because they're still traditionalists in basketball. You don't need two basketballs. And it's like, you're crazy.
Yeah,
like, why does Steph Curry do it then? Doesn't answer me that.
Yeah.
Why does Kyrie do it then? Like,
dudes do it, man. It's just about building the ability. I think, like I said earlier, when information is lost within skill, then the people just say stuff like that. But if you understand, like, okay, I see where this can help me out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Right? But, you know, it's just about that. It's just about just making sure guys know what they're doing it for.
Give you a compliment, and then you're going to ask me two questions. My compliment to you is your ability to explain the game of basketball has improved so much.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest person I learned from that was Drew Henlon. Never met Drew Henlon in person. We've talked, you know, and stuff like that. But watching his videos and how he explains things,
mm-hmm.
for trainers out there and coaches out there, mm-hmm. your ability to communicate the game of basketball in a way that is classroom is so important. Yeah. And so for you trainers out there who have all the ball handling drills and skills and all that, learn how to speak it, learn how to communicate it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where you took the biggest jump. It's around the time you were with the Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something you said right now to sound like Fish, how you mm-hmm. explain. You drug a word out like Fish does when he's explaining stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep, he picked it up. Yeah. And so it was around that time where I saw a big shift
in
the development of Dash.
No, for sure. Definitely the Sparks era, like being around Fish, and got a couple of times when I first started meeting Phil, I would like, because I was already good at drills. So I started watching how they spoke, how they walked, how they talked. Like, you gotta embody the role. I always tell people that, like, you have to become the character. And I'm really good at doing that. Like, I could really watch. I don't just watch for little things. I'm, like I said, I got a great eye, and I just like, I know where I lack my, where's my weaknesses. And I think that's important. You gotta just know where your weaknesses are, and you gotta attack them, you know, and not be afraid to. Because a lot of, like, and that's in anything in life, you know, I see guys, they have certain weaknesses, and instead of embracing them and taking them head on, and it's a challenge and fun, they're kind of like back out and be like, oh, I don't want nobody to see me in this vulnerable space. I'm okay with being
that's vulnerable. That's where the most growth happens, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yo. All right, two questions for me, man.
Man, what made you pick this sweater?
All last season, uh-huh. I wore hoodies.
Okay.
And now I'm on my crew neck tip.
Yeah, your crew neck tip.
This joint, it was in Las Vegas, Nike outlet, and it was only
$20.
$20? That's what made me get it.
Hey.
I'm like, hey, it's a Nike joint with the stripes.
Nike joint with the stripes?
Navy blue makes my eyes pop.
Okay.
So we good.
Okay. So that's your favorite color, navy blue?
No. It just makes my eyes
pop. It just makes your eyes pop? Then you might have to rock with that color then, man. And like,
do you like the sweater? I'm not good at fashion. I love
fashion.
5 or 6 years ago, man, I was like, yo, people was tucking
their socks
in their size. Remember that? I said, yo, Dash, how do I do that?
Yeah, that's when I first started doing it. Everybody's looking at me like, why do you tuck your sweater?
Like,
your
no, sweats in your size.
Like, that's what I do.
And like, I tried to do it. He's like, no, your sweat's too baggy. Don't do it. I was like, okay, my bad. I don't have any swag at all. So
But like, you know what I'm saying? I had to ask you because I was like, okay, you got the stripes. I saw you with the navy blue on yesterday too. Yeah. And like, you know, I was just like, you always seemed, and this is a real question for you now, right? Mm-hmm. You've always gave me great businessman vibes. And even watching like some of the things you've done in life on the business side and things you venture into, what inspires you or who did you look at that kind of like made you model like the way you approach talking to people, the way, you know, because you give me clean cut vibes, right? Clean cut, professional, and just super business savvy. Like, who was the first person or who kind of like you looked up to in that sense that made you want to like tap into that side of things?
It's a great question. That's something I actually have to think about. I don't know. I'm gonna tell you why. I always grew up, I said, whatever job I do, I want to be able to wear Jordans and basketball shorts to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything I've done, except for I wanted to be a financial advisor for a while, I was in suits, and I hated that feeling. It's like I always get to wear hoop gear.
Yeah.
Wherever I'm at. So like being professional,
yeah,
I think it was the way I was raised, maybe. I'm gonna say my mama then. Mm. And she just raised me to be articulate and to speak clear and to communicate well. And I had to learn how to do that because my house was crazy. It was a bunch of people all the time from different walks of life that I wanted to keep peace. I was the peacekeeper.
Mm.
And so I learned how to just talk to people to keep peace. And I think, so speaking to people, I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
the business stuff, I think it just came from books. Yeah. I just start reading, man. I had the business room when Core started.
Yeah.
I was like, man, how do I do this? Like, Google. Yeah. It was literally Google, and I started reading John Maxwell, started reading Darren Hardy, started reading these business people, and the communication from the family, and then the business stuff from books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's something, like, you know, I pay attention to things a lot. Like, I don't know, I can't help it. That's just how I move. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very aware of everything I see, how people move, to what they do, to whatever thing, you know? So that's something I've always saw about you, like, clean cut, like, spoke well, like, I wouldn't say I don't like people that speak fast, right?
Yeah.
So, like, because it's never clear. I always want to make sure, like, things are clear. And that's one thing I was like, man, Todd is very clear what he's trying to say to you, like, when he speaks. Mm-hmm. So, for me, I always wondered, like, I wonder where that started. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, that's good to know, like, household, making sure, like, things were organized. You know, you can't look at me like I didn't say it, because, like, when you start talking fast and people can miss a word, it's like, wait, but I didn't think you said this. I wasn't, like, sure what you said. Like, I'm very clear.
Yeah.
I'm clean about what I'm trying to say, and I'm clean about the way I approach and move. So I always saw that. So I just wanted to know where that came from.
No, that's a dope question. I'm going to think about that more, though, because like, the business part. Like, I have a lot of mentors in my life who do business, but it was after I started my business. So it was.
But you met those mentors after you started your business?
Yeah, so Tony McGee is one of my mentors now. Who
is anybody in your family ever started a business before?
My dad worked for Boeing and he was a manager, so he was professional. But I really never heard him talk to anybody and work. He just went to work and came home. I never saw him in his job. My dad doesn't talk. My biological father, he doesn't really talk. He kind of works by himself and with numbers and accounting and stuff. I guess the people around me, I worked at a lot of high-end health clubs. I worked at Equinox and then Sports Club LA. Mm. So I think being in 360, when I worked at 360, seeing professionals coming in and matching their energy, right? I'm really good at matching people's energy.
Yeah.
And so just seeing that, and like my wife, it was one of the first phone conversations. I was actually at work. I used to work at the pool at Sports Club LA.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was in my headphones, and this lady walks by, and I'm like talking to my wife, like, yeah, so when I get back to the crib tonight, it was good. Like, I'm on the phone like spitting, and then this lady walks by and says, what's her name? Marla. I was like, Marla, how are you? Good to see you. And she just started, my wife starts busting up laughing. She was like, who are you? You can't talk to me like this and then have that voice. But that was her energy. That lady's energy was happy, perky, and so I match it. And so that's from the home, though, because I had to match my country ass cousins from Louisiana.
Yeah,
I had to match they gutterness, because I was gonna get beat up and bullied if I didn't by them. And then my brother is a nerd, like a computer nerd, and he was by my best friend then, so I knew that life. And then I grew up in the suburbs, and so, you know, I grew up around a lot of people who speak properly So I just had to match it. And then, but then my mom and my whole family from the hood.
Yeah.
Like, my mom's a crip. Like,
So
I know that too.
Yeah.
It was just,
That's interesting. Interesting. So, like, you've had a chance to see both sides, and you just kind of almost like I have a friend like that. Like, he did some time in prison, but like, he was so, like, he just knew how to switch it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just knew. But I never saw the gangster Todd side or none of that. But, like, I've always saw, like, because obviously we've never been in any situations or things like that. Yeah. But always saw you in a space of work, right? So, like, you know what I mean? That could be another reason, too. Like, so, like, I've always saw you in that space. So, just always watching how you operate and move in that space. Like, it was good, like, to see, like, how you spoke to parents, how you spoke to clients, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know you probably never even thought to yourself, Dash paid attention to that? Like, no, but I really did.
Well, you know what? I have the same. Me and you, it's crazy how many I'm noticing. Today I learned this, that we have a lot of similarities. So I didn't start playing basketball until I was 11.
Yeah.
Same thing. And like that, I was a late bloomer to it, all that. And that, I have a gift. I can look at somebody. I know what they're going through. Karina sees it all the time. I literally will look at somebody and know what they're going through and know what to say to them to help them. Like, I have thing. I see all the details you see.
Mm-hmm.
I see them too.
Yeah.
And that's why I watch your stuff. It's like, I'm just, because I can learn because you even see it a different way, but we see the same thing, but we're discussing it differently.
Differently, yeah.
Yours is, like you said, the feel, see. Now, now I'm about to like really analyze how you teach, because now I know where foundation you're teaching on.
Yeah.
I have that same thing. Your gift and teaching basketball, what is it? I don't want to say this. I'm tired of being on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll ever get tired of being on the court
teaching. Yeah.
And so I don't want to be 50 teaching basketball on the court.
Yeah.
That's not my dream.
That's just not yours.
It's just not what it is. I love doing it. Yeah. I love investing in the kids, but I want to see how I can do what I do from sitting in this chair.
That's
why I have this show.
Yeah.
You know how much game you spent today?
Yeah.
And it's free for these people.
Yeah.
But guess what? If they actually want your game, they're going to have to go pay for it.
No, 100%. No, 100%.
Right? You see what I'm saying? So I want to be able to give the world this. Yeah. I can call you and ask, hey, Dash, how did you do this drill? What are you working with so-and-so on, right?
Yeah.
People don't have that access to you.
Yeah.
And so I want to share that with the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and but that I can see. I know you pay attention to everything.
No, 100%.
You're too detailed.
Yeah.
You teaching too much detail not to know.
To not to see everything else. I said, where you do one thing is where you do everything.
Second question. Or is that the second question?
That was my second question.
Because the first was the
sweater.
Hey, we did that thing.
He tied it in because it made sense. Because like, you're portraying yourself physically.
Mm-hmm.
Professional, prudent. Like,
yeah, that's what I was saying. Why you chose that?
Got it.
You got it. There you go. The bridge. Yeah.
No, I did now.
That's exactly why I did it.
That was nice.
All right, everybody knew said me, whatever. Hey, so that, you got 24-second shot clock. That's your camera right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just let the people know where they can find you and then any message that you have.
Oh, man. Well, Dashletics, you can find me in L.A. You can fly me wherever, too. You know, we got a good staff of guys. We'll be at Proactive. That's our gym we use out in Westlake. Shout out to RC, those my people over there. And definitely at Crestview, shout out to D Fish. You know what I mean? Those my guys, man. And just to all the gyms that allow us to come in and do what we do, we appreciate you guys very much. And, you know, whatever you do in life, man, as long as you got a love and a passion for it, you place yourself in the right place and understand that you have to be able to connect with people. That goes a long way. Everything will be all right.
Man, we're going to have a part two, but I appreciate you for this, brother.
You're already, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We'll see you guys next time. Peace.